Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Everyone, it's Karen. Welcome to Momentum Magnet. We are here every week talking about ways that you can get more momentum, more progress in your life and business. And that is a topic that is reaching across the airwaves. I looked today at one of the number one search requests on Google, and there are 4.3 billion searches for the question, when is life going to get back to normal? So today we're talking about how people recover from hard times, how you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and reinvent your future. And I have the perfect guest. Jarrah Fosterfell, otherwise known in the TikTok channels as Jarrah Bean, is here to talk about her journey to becoming an influencer and a coach in all things social media. Like most of us, her journey started when she fell down in a tough period of her life when she was recovering from a breakup and a soul-crushing job in graphic design. So today we're here to talk about how you get the nerve to start your own business in those tough times, what to do when the universe calls to you to change, and how to approach building a brand online. I'm totally excited to welcome her because we're already having fun in the pre-conversation. Hey, Jarrah.
Hey, Karen. Thanks so much for having me today. I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah, me too. It's such a good and meaty topic. Like I mentioned to you when I started the episode, I had a conversation this morning with, you know, a friend going through a divorce. And we had a conversation about how to grow your business and balance things in tough times. And when you and I were talking before this episode, we both sort of started our journeys to a better career and a future in those dark moments. So maybe we can start there and talk to us a little bit about how your life changed when you decided that you hated your job and your relationship had just ended.
Oh man, what a time. I really look back on that now and I'm glad that I've had some space, about 5 or 6 years at this point, because you can kind of look back on it and be like, okay, that was a chapter of my life and I moved on from it. Things got better, things changed, and hindsight is always 20/20. But if we rewind back to that moment, or kind of just that chapter in time rather, it's approximately, you know, 2014, 2015. I was working as a graphic designer. That is what I went to school for at USC out in Los Angeles. I was a fine art major, which I chose on a whim, but that's a conversation for another time. I fell in love with graphic design and thought it was something that I really wanted to do. And I did some freelance work and I worked at some startups. And I was really, you know, I'm young at the time. I'm 20, gosh, 22, 23, somewhere around that age. And I think at that age, you're so kind of naive when it comes to the workforce. You've never really been in, you know, I've worked throughout my teenage life, but never really been in that situation where you're at a real job for a sustained amount of time. And I didn't really know at the time how manipulated I was being and just sort of taken advantage of, and working 7 days a week, where if you were going to actually break down the amount of money I was making per hour, it was something like probably just a couple spare change if you really added it up. I was losing hair due to stress. I remember being at WeWork one day and just parting my hair in the mirror and seeing a bald patch. I was having heart palpitations. I should have been, at one point, I'm convinced I should have been hospitalized for exhaustion, but that's another story. And I was realizing that I was struggling from social anxiety. I had had these different symptoms that were surmounting over the last couple of years. And I didn't really know it was a problem until I broke down to my mom one day. And she's like, this is something you could probably get help for. And I didn't even know there was a name for what I was experiencing with social anxiety. So all of this is kind of adding up, and I woke up one day and you know, I'm kind of summarizing things here. There's a little details in between, but I think I woke up one day and I remember the morning thinking like, I need to do something positive for myself. I need to make a change. And looking back at that moment now, I think it was some kind of universe moment, because I didn't really think too deep about it. It was just like, okay, I need to kind of do something and get my act together. And that's when I downloaded a workout guide called The Bikini Body Guide by Kayla Itzinas. And I went to the gym and just started working out. And what happened, that was April 4th. I remember the date, April 4th, 2015. And not only did this workout guide kind of give some positivity to my life in terms of having some sort of structure and doing something good for myself through health and wellness and exercise, I'd also decided to make an Instagram account to hold myself accountable, because I had been following other women doing this workout guide for like a year. So it wasn't just like something I randomly came across. I'd been invested in a way for about a year or so. And I instantly through Instagram found this connection and community, which really kind of filled my soul in a way. I was struggling with social anxiety in real life, didn't really have any friends, didn't have any connection. And through this workout guide that really brought us all together, I felt like I had friends to talk to every single day. So it was kind of this wonderful mix of, okay, I'm working out, I'm doing something positive for myself through fitness. It's making me feel good. I have these friends, these female, like kind of positive female energy in my life that I really needed through Instagram. And I am a creative person coming from that graphic design space. I've always been in the creative field in some shape or form. And so I found this outlet of creativity through Instagram, through photos, through captions, through creating. So I kind of see those three pillars kind of coming together to form this really positive moment that I very much needed at the time. And that's really what just completely shifted my life at the time.
Well, it's so interesting because social media gets a bad rap in a lot of ways of saying that it is false connections and it's not really true and people aren't being authentic. But in a lot of ways, for a lot of people, the social media connection can really play a real role in helping them reach other humans and feel yeah. the friendship vibe, which is beautiful. The thing that's so interesting about what you said is you said you were in a moment where social anxiety was really hard. And yet you were going to share your experience
yes.
on the internet. So talk about those two themes being absolutely in some way in conflict with each other. And how do you sort of get over that hurdle of feeling anxious and nervous and start doing it?
Yeah, well, social anxiety, by the time I had started my Instagram account, I had about a year behind me of therapy. So that was instrumental in really helping me manage my anxiety. And a really important part of what I learned in therapy is that you learn to manage these things. You don't learn to just not instantly, but they don't just go away. So it's something that's always probably with you, but we have these tools now in our back pocket to learn how to manage. So I definitely have made a lot of progress by the time I started my Instagram account. I think had I been sort of at the beginning of my social anxiety journey going to therapy, I think I still would have started it, to be totally honest. So I don't think it's because I went through therapy that I was able then to start my Instagram account. So that's just upon reflection, I'm pretty sure that's how I would have felt at the time. But that being said, still, you know, dealing with social anxiety. And also I'm a total introvert. Like I have a lot of energy. I'm super bubbly, but like, I love being alone and just having my alone time. I certainly recharge from just being by myself and being alone. So that being said, I think even with social anxiety, even being an introvert, you still want to have those connections. You still want to have friendships. And I think it's almost, and I'm sure not everyone is going to agree with me here, but for me, I think it's almost easier to make connections through social media, to put myself out there through social media, because there's sort of this wall, there's a safety net of the digital space. It's like, I'm not necessarily talking to a specific person. I'm not in front of a crowd in a real life arena or stage. I have that kind of comfort safety blanket of it all being translated through a screen. So some people probably hear that and like, it's the opposite for them. It's actually terrifying to present themselves and they'd rather be with real people than like who the hell heck is reading this post, who's watching my stories. But for me, it's almost easier in that realm. So that's kind of how I interpret it.
I actually think, having spoken to a lot of social media influencers over the course of the year, and actually living, I'm an extrovert with two children who are introverts, I have seen that more often than not, that a lot of the influencers that are using these social channels are actually introverts and say just that.
Yes.
And it is one of the correlations. And you actually gave me an aha moment because I love being on stages. I love speaking to big groups of people. I will command Zoom like nobody's business. But speaking to just the camera is hard for me.
So you're on the opposite end of this. We're on different roles.
I feel so anxious just talking to nobody, talking to the camera. It really makes me feel more anxious and it makes me feel less. So that's interesting. And I never put that together because I've always wondered why I avoid doing videos.
Yeah, there you go.
Participation. So that's interesting. Nope. That's really interesting. Being able to find your community online, though, is so important. And you had growth that was explosive. I mean, right now you're at, you know, million plus followers on TikTok. You're verified. You have a large base. Yeah. But it happened quickly for you at the beginning. And you had that kind of authentic voice from the get-go. So let's talk a little bit about when you noticed it was snowballing and how you were able to continue being creative, but also being you.
So I'll start first with Instagram. If you want me to go into TikTok, because I see those as two very different stories, they sort of link over. But if we look at Instagram, and this is back in 2015, I started off in the fitness space. I'm doing this BBG guide. And I actually love scrolling back to the beginning of my account because just through the photos and the captions, I'm like, wow, this is such a different Jara, like kind of a naive, like all cute and not very confident Jara. But I think at the time, I noticed that the more that I opened up in my captions, even just as simple as instead of, hey, finished my workout today, but instead, hey, you know, did week 5 workout number 2, those burpees were so freaking hard. Oh my gosh, should anyone else feel the same? Because remember, a lot of the women are either a week ahead of me, week behind, on the same exact week. So we're all connecting on this very specific level. And they go, oh yeah, like those burpees were so hard. Like, I can't believe it. And so the more detail that I gave in this kind of safe space of just opening up about fitness at first, not really myself, the more engagement I got, the more connection I got, and people just really wanting to feel that humanness of like, oh yeah, I experienced the challenge of those burpees too. And so then when you start to open up in that sense, it kind of creates a easy pathway to talk about other things. I'll give you an example. Not too, sort of in this time period is when perhaps within that year, my dad got diagnosed with cancer. He's totally fine now, which is great. But it was really challenging at the time. And so opening up about that and sharing about his health and what he was going through and therefore what I was going through was another pathway to showing me how when we share both the ups and the downs, it just makes us more human. And at the end of the day, when it comes to social media, I know so many people look at it as this negative thing. And I think it's when someone, you or anyone else or the people you're following are only using it as a highlight reel because you're putting yourself up or someone else is putting themselves up on a pedestal saying, here, look at my successes and my wins and everything that's good, when that's just not the case for anyone. We're all experiencing the highs and the lows and the challenges and the ups and the downs and the resistance points and the things that are fun. And so when you find that balance of opening up and being vulnerable, it just, you're putting yourself forward online as your authentic self. And that's what people want to connect with. They want the humanness. They want to even see themselves in you. And that's how we create community, is when we become someone who's relatable, which is really just your real self. Like, we're all experiencing the goods and the bad. So it's a matter of just how we present that with our online presence.
That first time, do you remember one of those early videos where you felt like you crossed the line and truly being more vulnerable? And how did you get the courage to do it?
I think one of the most perhaps vulnerable moments for me, and it's not that I hadn't been vulnerable prior to that moment, but it really, really stands out in my kind of Instagram social media history. And I'll give you a little bit of backstory. So I'm in that fitness space, obsessed with BBG and Caleb Sinis and all that. And that's when I also got back into SoulCycle, because I fell in love with spin during college, which was very not SoulCycle. But I went to a couple SoulCycle classes with my mom and loved it. And then being back in that fitness realm and going to the SoulCycle classes, I was like, this is, in my mind, it was just the be all end all. To be a SoulCycle instructor was everything to me. And so I had no fitness instruction background. I was not even necessarily that great of a writer, even though I probably thought I was at the time. And on top of it, awful, awful fear of public speaking. Like number one, I'd rather go on Fear Factor and eat some worms than like speak in front. And I've worked through that because on a very different chapter of my life now, but at the time it was terrifying. So I embarked upon this journey of becoming a Soul Cycle instructor, which is a long chapter, so I'll be super brief with it. But I took everyone along for the ride on Instagram as well. Like everyone knew that I was working my butt off to become a Soul Cycle instructor. And so I went through the first audition, didn't make it through, went through the second audition a couple months later, was accepted into the 10-week training program. And then 10 weeks of, like blood, heart, soul, whatever that phrase is. And I get to the end of the 10 weeks and they told me I didn't pass. I was one person out of three. So three of us out of 26 didn't make it as a Soul Cycle instructor. And so at the time, everyone's cheering me on social media, which is great. But then I had to get on Instagram and to about 70,000 people at the time be like, I failed. Like I've been working at this for months and I failed. I didn't make it. And it was really scary to kind of just show your failure like that, especially when it was something that was, it felt so long in the making at the time. And I'm like, what's everyone going to say? What is everyone going to think? And what was so beautiful was that no one was laughing at me. No one's making fun of me. No one's being like, oh, like, sucks for you. It was such a supportive response and really just encouraging and warm and uplifting. So I think that was such a great indicator of what happens when you show people those downs, you show people those failures, and it just helps them, like I said, see themselves in you, because we're all going to experience failures and no's and roadblocks along the way.
It is interesting because I have nowhere near your type of followers, but I do find that people in town talk to me sometimes and say, I'm glad you share things that aren't good, because nobody does. And it makes us laugh and it makes us feel normal. And there is that sense of sometimes when people give too rosy of a social media kind of lens that people get, they unfollow, they don't like it. It triggers that feeling of comparison, which, really isn't most people's vibe or what they're going for when they're active online. Well, the good news of the story is you kept trying.
Yes.
And you did end up as a Soul Cycle instructor. No more, right? You're not.
Yep. But I did go through that 10-week training program again. I had 20 weeks of Soul Cycle training under my belt. So it was it's really, when we think about social media, it's like you bring people along for the ride. It's the behind the scenes. It's the point A to point B to point C. And that Soul Cycle example is such a great example of that, in that after I found out that I didn't make it and experienced that failure, I decided to go back and try again in 10 weeks. And I did ultimately become a Soul Cycle instructor and taught for about a year and a half.
And I think that's really it. Like, there's a lot of people that you hear about that have successful businesses. They're actors, they're fitness zealots. They, have worked in sports, but all of us have failed.
Oh yeah. Big time.
And I think the difference between the successful and the people don't get there is we're willing to fail and fail and fail again and still keep trying.
Yes. Yes. This is super corny, but it's like when you hear N-O, no, it really stands for new opportunities. If you can kind of see it in that perspective, it sort of reframes the no, reframes the failure a little bit.
Oh yeah. I feel for me, no is a battle cry. Somebody tells me I want it more. It's
like
I still have the 4-year-old mentality. Like say no, I say yes now.
I love it.
So as you've moved through this process, you are no longer a graphic designer, but you're using so much of your creativity in your day-to-day job. Now, when I always look at people's beautiful feeds and see all the pictures, one of the questions I always want to ask is, who takes all your photos? Ooh. How do you manage all of this?
Yeah. Okay. So photo-wise, I'll take you just on the brief journey. When I first started off, I'm taking all my own photos. Like for a long time, I had my trusty little tripod, my trusty little Bluetooth remote. If you go back to my old photos, you can either see it hidden in my hand, or my hand is like in my pocket or behind my back, or sometimes on the ground and I'm using my toe to click the little clicker so that I can take my own photos. So anytime I think someone looks at my my content, my photos now, they're probably like, oh, like, you know, Jara doesn't have to deal with taking her own photos. No, that's where I came from. That's how I figured my own stuff out, is just doing all myself. Now, as I kind of stepped more into the content creator space, I definitely had a photographer in New York City who I would work with on occasion, not all the time. Those are sort of my own more professional looking photos if you scroll back. And now, if we fast forward to current day, my wonderful husband takes all of my photos, and we started working together just kind of on a really casual basis in terms of content creation back in kind of mid-2019 or so. And I think I needed a last minute photo, and I said, can you just help me? And he grabbed the camera and sort of enjoyed the process, and was the biggest thing. If someone is helping you take your photo who isn't a photographer, the biggest characteristic they need is patience, because it's so easy to kind of get feathers ruffle and get frustrated, and he's had so much patience with it ever since the start. So these days my husband takes it, but I will emphasize I did come from that background of taking a lot of photos myself.
And as you've gone through this journey, right, as Instagram sort of grew into more of a mature channel, I would say, because when you started, Instagram was, in 2015, it was more of where TikTok is today.
Definitely a very different space from today.
Very different space. So now as we've moved from imagery to moving imagery, and I think that's almost the future of anything of marketing, like we're going to be searching with video, we're going to be seeking with video. As you've moved into the TikTok space, how do you manage doing all of your content, especially now that you have brand partnerships and an academy and you have a much wider offering that you even deliver and talk about through the channel itself?
Ooh, big question. Well, first of all, I just want to retweet and echo what you said about video. I think short form content is not even the way of the future. I mean, we see it with the rise of TikTok in the sort of 2020 year and the rise of Reels, which hasn't even been around for a year yet, which is crazy. And I'm just such a huge, huge fan of TikTok and short form video. I think for allowing our personality to come through, providing even more value, either educationally, motivationally, or through entertainment, it's just such a powerful tool. So huge, huge fan of all that. I could go on about it for days. In terms of managing things, whoo, let me tell you, if anyone thinks they look at me and they're like, Jara makes it look easy because people have told me that in the past, it's not. Like, I'll be the first to say that I am working 7 days a week. Is my work-life balance that great? No, it's something I'm working on this year, and I'm not going to pretend to say that I have that figured out or truly balanced. That being said, my full-time job is two roles. I'm a content creator, and I'm also a social media coach. So social media is my job. I live, breathe, eat it all day long. And it is in some ways second nature to me. So a lot of people might struggle to make a reel or make a TikTok and it might take them 2 or 3 hours. And for me, it takes me, you know, maybe 20 minutes or so. Like I've had so much practice with it that captions are so easy for me to write. I could write one for you right now, you know, in a matter of 5 minutes if I needed to. And I'm very comfortable in front of the camera. So it is coming easier to me than perhaps some people. And I can just kind of bang things out somewhat quickly. And then in addition to that, there is content planning that goes into it. So it's not all just last minute, but there is a kind of weekly granular plan in addition to like a bird's eye monthly view that I call it. So it's a mix of being second nature and also with the in advance planning that kind of makes it a somewhat well-oiled machine. It's not always well-oiled.
How much of that constant talk track is going through your head on a daily basis? You're just living your life. You're having your coffee in the morning. If you drink coffee with your husband, you're taking a walk. How much of that time are you thinking about, I should be making content, I should be making content, I should be making content?
I guess because it seems so, for the most part, I'm not saying all the time, it seems so second nature. I'm not really thinking about it in that way. I'm not like, oh gosh, I should be making this. It's more of like, all right, through stories, I am documenting a good amount of my daily life. It's not every single moment, but I always want to show people either what I'm doing, or in kind of this pandemic world, I'm not really doing a lot. So what I say is I like to let people into my mind, which is, you know, if a random song pops in my head, I'll share it. Or I'm like, oh wow, my thumb bends backward, like anyone else's thumb, like put up a poll and ask people, like that kind of stuff. So through stories, that's very second nature. Through my content planning, that's kind of stuff I've done already on a Sunday, looking at the week ahead. And then TikTok is a little bit more off the cuff for me. I'm not doing a ton of planning. It's whatever sort of on my mind that day, and try and get at least one or two videos up. So it's not really as constant in my mind as perhaps one might think, even though there is a constant output. It's every single day.
Yeah. And I always wonder that balance, because I do think people make it look effortless, right? Yeah. And at the same time, you know, it's not. And you wonder, you know, how much of your life is spent with the phone in your hand, like worried about capturing the moment versus being in the moment. And that's an interesting, balance. But it also feels good to hear someone with the type of following that you have, that it's not dictating your life. Like there's plenty of moments where you don't have a, you know, camera in your hand.
Yeah. And if you think about it, if you watch my stories or someone else's, you know, even if I get, let's say, 10 frames up in a day, if they're all video, that's up to 15 seconds long. I'm awful at math, so don't ask me to add that up. But like, that's, I don't know, 2 minutes.
I'm not gonna double check.
Let's just say about 2 minutes of my day. So even when I am capturing something, like I went out to dinner with my mom for her birthday last night, and I want, you know, it's so rare for me to be out at a restaurant these days, so I wanted to kind of capture that moment. I got the little video of the cheers, and then my phone is away for the rest of the evening. So I think oftentimes we think, oh, our phone has to be out and we have to be thinking all the time. But sometimes it's a matter of just capturing one moment within the larger experience, like being out to dinner. And you also don't necessarily have to post in the moment. So you might say, all right, I'm at this cool dinner. I want to get the cheers. I want to get a photo of me and my mom because it's her birthday, and the really delicious dinner entree we're eating. You can just kind of take a quick video, quick photo, and then later upload it as well, because it's not only taking the content, but sometimes tagging the restaurant or adding text or adding a song if you want to add some music quality to it. That can also take just as much time as the capturing itself. So sometimes it's just capturing it, make sure it's saved to your phone, and then when you're in the Uber home or whatever that is, you can upload it as well. So just to kind of minimize the amount of posting you're doing while you are in some type of experience.
Yeah, that's interesting. So when you're thinking about, or a new client comes to you and they're asking, hey, Jara, like, what can I talk about? What's on the table and what's off the table? Do you have any theories about certain things being overdone? Like, do we need another food TikToker? Do we need to hear about your dating history? I mean, those are all things that really translate very well and get a lot of watches. But is there anything that you sort of tell people, no, or is it all about the execution?
I think when it comes to sharing, every single person is going to be different, and it's your comfort level. It's kind of, if I'm describing very specifically the idea of vulnerability, because we hear that, it's like you have to open up, you have to share, and then we've talked about that already, you and me on this episode. It's not an on or off switch. So vulnerability, or whether it just comes to sharing about yourself or certain topics, it's not either you're doing it or you're not. You want to think about it as a dial, and you have to take into consideration your own comfort level. And so when it comes to sharing, there's a couple things that I suggest to help, because there's no right or wrong answer here. Some people share every single detail of their life, and some people are going to be a little bit more buttoned up, and both are okay, as long as there's some sort of dial turn there. You don't want it completely off at a zero. Maybe it's at a one, but we want people to connect. So a couple good ways to go about it are to think of your niche, for example, and think about if what you're sharing somewhat openly or vulnerably is related to your niche. So for example, if there's a personal trainer and they in the past perhaps struggled with body image, that would be relatively relevant to what they do because they're a personal trainer. There's a lot of body image going on there. However, if they are going through a divorce, perhaps that doesn't feel as relevant or specific to share to what they do. Now, could they talk about that divorce if they wanted to? Absolutely, if they felt comfortable. But that's just a good kind of marker of, okay, this is relevant to my niche, and this isn't perhaps directly relevant to my niche. So perhaps I want to keep that a little bit closer to myself and create a boundary for myself, which I absolutely recommend everyone doing. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is to think of the concept of sharing what is a scab versus what is a scar. And once again, these are not hard and fast rules. They're just tools to potentially help guide you when it comes to sharing. Sharing a scar is something that you've healed from. It's an experience that you have learned a lesson from, and you can kind of offer that up to your audience, versus the scab is something that is a little bit more recent. Perhaps you're still hurting from it or experiencing it or digesting it, and maybe you don't really have anything to offer up to your audience, and you want to wait and once again create that boundary for yourself so that you're, you know, you got to protect your energy and you don't have to share everything. So those are two kind of little guidelines that I have for people that sometimes help with what to share and whatnot.
Yeah, that's important, because just like people can tell if you're being fake, I think they can also tell when you're sharing to the point of wanting almost the clickbait. Like, there are some of those 25 part TikTok series that you're like, nobody wants this level of detail in your life or experience, right?
Yeah. And I think before you press post on anything, or perhaps you create, you also have to think about the person receiving it. Like, what is your intention sharing this piece of content, sharing this video, sharing this post? And if it's just to kind of get the clicks and the views, that's probably not coming from the most honest place, the most authentic place. But if you're creating and sharing something to motivate, inspire, to teach someone something, if there's a lesson that you learn that you feel your ideal client or ideal person or ideal follower could benefit from, that's also a good marker of how and when to share as well.
Yeah, that's a really good litmus test. And shocking sometimes when you are an influencer or you have a business and you talk about, you know, real things in life and business, and you do go to a personal place, like, it can definitely feel a little scary sometimes. Oh, I mean, I know I've had those moments of like, am I really going to say this on the internet? Like, it's a strange feel when you have that moment of like, wow, we're doing this.
Yeah. And sometimes that's good. Like, once again, you're in the driver's seat. And when I say you, I mean everyone, of what you're going to share. And I do want to push people to feel a little bit uncomfortable. If you're always creating from the box of your comfort zone, that probably is a good indication that you can kind of turn that dial up a little bit more. So we don't want to make ourselves totally uncomfortable and just constantly experience vulnerability hangovers, but a little discomfort sometimes before you post is something that I think is good to feel. You're pushing the envelope and allowing the humanness to show through.
It's interesting because I had the same conversation with Kenya Kelly, TikTok.
Yes.
Right?
Yep, love her.
She talked about, you know, how she's a business influencer. And the first time she mentioned that she's divorced and she was cheated on, her DM section blew up to the point where she had never had such intense engagement.
Yes.
She and I shared that similar story, but it's not a story you don't talk about that story. So we had a very interesting exchange in a conversation just like this, where I'm like, yeah, like me too. And we were like, wow, we just said that out loud on a podcast.
Yeah.
The podcast that we did a couple of months ago, she has talked about the divorce so much,
yes,
in her content, because that's what people want to hear from her. She even created a free course for women going through that sort of transformation to talk about how to get back on track. And I think sometimes she talked a lot about being like almost spiritually led to the topic area that she's meant to talk about. And she's like, I wasn't ready, but I guess I'm going to have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So
interesting.
Yep. And what a wonderful example of, you know, you're sharing tips, advice, and information. People are hungry for that. People want to learn, but there's so much more significance to whatever it is that you're teaching or offering through your content once people get to know the person and the struggles and the stories and the experiences behind it all.
Yeah. And that is a beautiful thing. Besides the fact you can fall down a really deep hole of great food content or a elementary school teacher in rural Alaska I discovered yesterday.
Yeah.
It was like, what is it like to live in a town of 100 people? This is insane.
How cool.
Really cool. Well, let's leave people with a few tips. So the very few humans in America that are not active on social channels and know that it would be a beautiful way for them to start their business. How does somebody get started today? And would you suggest it being in video?
I think, so I want to kind of touch on both Instagram and TikTok. I think they're both great platforms for different reasons. One, I see Instagram as your portfolio. It's kind of your resume, your business card, all those things in one. If you think about it, a lot of people these days, when they look up a restaurant, look up a brand, look up a coach, they're looking on Instagram first. At least I know I do. It's rare that we kind of go to the website first. So we want there to be this digital representation of who we are and what we offer via Instagram. And I think that is such a powerful part of the platform, regardless of your engagement, regardless of how many followers you have, you want to have that going. Now, Instagram can be kind of intimidating in that a lot of people look at it as a highlight reel and they have to show this shiny kind of version of themselves and everything needs to be polished and figured out. And it can be almost paralyzing when you start off. I've had so many people who are like, I have an account. I haven't done my first post. I'm so nervous to do my first post. Like, I just don't know what to say. And I understand that. But content on Instagram has such a short lifespan. And of course, people can go on your grid and look past and look to older posts, but it's almost like insignificant what your first post is. If you have zero followers or just a few, like barely anyone is going to see that. So the more that you just start to show up and create, the more you're going to figure out your voice and how to do your photos or your graphics. So the beginning, you can just kind of play and experiment and have fun. And there's no real like repercussion to what you do as you're kind of finding your footing. So it sounds so simple to say like, just start, but like, seriously, it's better to just start than to constantly think about starting. Once you kind of get your feet wet and get the ball rolling, you're going to want to come up with some things that are going to help your content creation process, like content pillars and content planning and all that kind of stuff, which sounds complicated. And I could go on for hours. But I think the more that we realize that social media is kind of this simple, like so many people look at it like rocket science. There's so many different elements. And if you can just kind of get your hands on some consistent posting, some photos, some captions, eventually get to some reels, just keep it simple to start and just continually show up and be consistent. Now, when it comes to short form video, that's a whole other topic. Reels is a whole other topic. I highly recommend jumping on Reels as quickly as possible, because that is I'm going to be as bold as to say the only way to grow on Instagram these days. Hashtags are not going to do it for you. Do not even worry about hashtags. I freaking despise hashtags. Reels is the way to reach people organically. So you don't only want to limit yourself to photos and captions. You want to really lean into Reels. But on that note, if we think about TikTok, the beauty of TikTok is that the algorithm over there levels the playing field unlike any other platform. It's a completely different ballgame from Instagram, where you are limited by the amount, for the most part, by the amount of followers that you have. So if I post on Instagram with zero followers, brand new account, it's likely that that post will get zero likes, zero comments, or maybe one like, one comment, very, very minimal. Versus TikTok, the amount of times I have seen someone start a brand new account, have one video, and that video gets thousands of views, hundreds of thousands of views, millions of views. Not that that is the goal. It's not just to go viral, but it shows you the power of TikTok's algorithm. Because when you are browsing your For You page, which is the main feed on TikTok, you are seeing not just people that you follow. The bulk of the people that you're seeing, the videos that you're seeing, are people that you do not follow. And that's why you can have such potential for reach on that platform. So if you are looking for really that potential spike of visibility, TikTok is going to be what you're going to want to go for. But you want to have them both play to each other, because like I said, Instagram is more of that kind of a little bit more formal, a little bit more resume portfolio. You're still letting people in behind the scenes, but TikTok is what's going to get you the visibility and reach much quicker than what Instagram can.
So before they can hear about working with you and how they get into your program to learn all your tips, let's give them one real world example. And I'll actually give you a real world example that I'm struggling with right now. So okay. I want you're the Jeremy
yes.
to what you
Tell
would do.
Me.
So I got reached out from a ice cream company
okay.
and they want me to review their pickle ice cream.
Oh, interesting.
And they want it in a reel and in a TikTok. So yeah. you can imagine that's pretty fun, right? That's a fun
sure.
assignment. You can show personality to that. So if I'm sitting there and, you know, I'm looking at like, I could film myself eating the ice cream. How does a creator like you take something like that and figure out there's 1,000 ways to do it? Do I pick the song first? Do I shoot the video first? How would you break down in a little assignment like that? Trying something new on camera.
I think there's a couple ways to go about it, especially if we're getting specific with a reel or TikTok style video.
Okay.
You definitely want the concept first. It's not, I think anything with short form content, you're either wanting to tell a story or you're wanting to evoke emotion or you're wanting to jump on a trend of some sort. So the way that I actually divide up short form content, I think about it more in the realm of TikTok, but it does apply to Reels as well, is that there is trending content, and trending content is a huge, huge part of TikTok. And trends can be anything. It's just a bandwagon that everyone is jumping on, whether it's a dance, we're kind of all used to that. Sorry, my dog is coughing in the background. He's very old. It could be a point to text bubbles coming up on screen. It could be a way that you're styling a character video, two people talking back and forth to each other. So a trend can be such a wide range of things, but it's something that everyone is jumping on and trying and remixing into their own content. There's also what I call evergreen content, and that is content that is not tied to a specific trend. If I did a video, 3 tips for how to grow on TikTok, that would be evergreen. It's not tied to a trend. It's just my own information. If I did a montage of how I've overcome my fear of public speaking, that's a story, and that's not trending content. So I tell you this in that, are you doing the pickle ice cream with evergreen content, or is it trending? I think trending is a really fun thing to hop on, and to how I've done a lot of my partnerships and sponsored posts in the short form content realm, because the structure is there for you. If there's two characters talking back and forth in a certain style, all you have to do is kind of insert your own character into it and your own kind of dialogue, and that format is there. Or I'll give you an example. That I did recently, there's this song that goes do 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 do, and you're jumping the whole video, but the way that you edit it, it looks like you're kind of flying in this weird way. Kind of hard to explain through words. It should be on my TikTok.
No, I watched your TikTok. I know how to do it.
Amazing. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. And so that was a really easy thing for me to do with a brand partner. It was kind of like how I feel once I use this product, that type of thing. It's sort of like fun and energized. So that was such an easy way for me to take a trend and then apply it to a partnership. So I would kind of go more in that trending realm just because it's easier to kind of create. Or if you're going to come up with a fresh idea in evergreen, is there some sort of narrative, kind of your own spin that you could put on it? So that's where I would suggest
starting. Everybody should stop and use that as the rallying theme, because that's very simple to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
Before you shoot a TikTok or a reel, figure out the gimmick, the technique that you're going to use.
Yes.
And then it becomes a lot easier to shoot the video with a purpose, as opposed to taking 17 takes of you putting a spoon in your mouth and then saying, what the hell am I going to do with this now?
Yeah. You have to go into it with a plan, whether it's a loose script, whether it's the trend that you're kind of spiffing on. There has to be some kind of direction before you
start. And girls and boys, that's the way it's done in advertising. I worked in advertising for 20 years. I shot TV spots with Academy Award winning actors and actresses. And that's how you do it. You have a storyboard, you have a script, and then you figure out the production. So that's beautiful. So the next TikTok that you're going to do today, people, you're going to make your reel or you're going to do your TikTok. You're going to come up with the technique first, and then you're going to shoot it and follow up. Send us a note. Let us know how it goes. Give us a comment on iTunes or Spotify. And if you want to follow Jerabeen, head on over to Instagram or TikTok. And how do people work with you?
Right now, my biggest thing is my course, the Social Media Saloon. It is a 3-month course focused on Instagram for both businesses, service-based businesses, product-based businesses, as well as content creators. And the next round is kicking off in July. So there's that is coming up. And I do also take on a few one-on-one clients at a time. So Jarrah@jarrahbean.com, shoot me an email.
Perfect. Well, thank you. This was a really fun conversation. And like any business, B2B, B2C, a personal brand, you have to be active in video if you want to organically grow without paying for leads. It's the way to go. And it's something that we all have to get over, that fear of starting, right? Yes. So thank you for joining us on Momentum Magnet. We like to talk to leaders across all industries so that they can help us be smarter and give us an actionable tip to get more momentum in our life and business. We love your reviews. So please reach out and tell us how you like the show. Let us know what your TikTok was and how you did. And if you want to be a guest, please send us an email at momentummagnet.com. Thank you so much, Jarrahbean. It was a pleasure to have you, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit momentummagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.